Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. We're looking ahead to the next Jaguars game with Brian Sexton and former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli, and Mark Brunel. Sponsored by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now.
All right, here you go, guys. No Loggeman. This is the Baselli Brunel special.
Perfect. Yeah.
I'll just get out of your way.
Here we go.
Good evening and welcome to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Brian Sexton, Mark Brunel, Tony Baselli, and Jeff will be back in just a moment.
He said he needed some caffeine.
To get ready for you.
I guess.
To get all hyped up to battle you for the next hour. You know the phone number, folks, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. So here's what everyone wants to know. Jaguars go out and they play pretty well against Peyton Manning. Pretty well. Don't win, but they play pretty well. Can they do the same thing this week against Phillip Rivers?
Absolutely. I mean, they have they played well, like you said, and did some very good things, made some mistakes, but they improved. And isn't that what Gus Bradley's talking about all the time?
Well,
just get better, and they're getting better, so they certainly have a chance this week.
You know, the one thing that I noticed talking to people this week, you know, Gus would be talking about improvement. We got better. And he was talking in areas that the average fan wouldn't necessarily see, right? And yet this week, coming back from Denver, everybody saw it. Everybody could say, and obviously it was because it was more competitive early, but most people could tell you what they saw that they liked for the first time this year.
Well, part of it is because Gus has been preaching getting better, and the average fan might not be able to see that, but you know what? It's the little things that have allowed them to have the step forward that we saw in Denver. A lot of times it's the stuff beneath the surface. It's the details. It's getting better with your steps. It's running route combinations better, understanding what the defense wants and how to play that leverage as a defensive back or gap responsibilities. Things, heck, most of us can't pick up right away unless you really study the film. The average fan watching TV has no idea, nor should they. But Gus has been seeing that over and over, and you saw it translate to the field Sunday against Denver.
And you know what wasn't under the surface was them hitting the quarterback. And they said, and Jeff said it last week on the show, you got to hit Peyton Manning. And we did that, and which was very good to see, and you can see the effects of it. He didn't have his best game. Sure, he was still Peyton Manning, but getting after him a little bit made a difference in the ballgame.
It did change the dynamic. You know, in that first drive where they took over at the 27, I forget who got it, but there was a particular play where Manning got clobbered early on.
You remember early in that game, I said, this does not look like the Peyton Manning that I've been watching on film. He doesn't look himself.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, hey, look, when you're what, 36?
He's human.
And you've had four neck surgeries, you don't want to get hit.
Nope.
And you certainly don't want to dive onto the ground to go after a loose ball. That's just a tease for Film Room Friday coming up this week. Did you guys see his reaction when the exchanges happened?
He just stood there. he caught some heat in the Denver media, too.
Oh, rightly so.
I disagree. I'm John Fox saying, don't dive in the biobated.
Right.
Don't move.
No, but you can understand why he would get some heat, though.
No, I don't. Not because it's Peyton Manning.
He was sticking his arms out and backing up.
He didn't want it.
I'm telling you right now, though, if I'm the offensive line, anyone on that team, I'm like, Peyton,
don't.
Run the other way. And by the way, I'd have yelled at him on the sideline when he got clobbered on the pick. Peyton, listen, if you throw a pick, you barely ever throw him, just go to the sideline, get out of the way, because we can't afford – the Super Bowl leaves our future if you get hurt. So just duck, hide. I don't care where you go. But if you throw a pick or there's a fumble, get out of the way. We'll take care of it.
You remember what Marino used to do, that very thing. He'd throw a pick and he would just go to the sideline and get out of the way. You know?
That's what listen, brilliant. When you're that good, now if you're an average quarterback, you better bust your butt and get over there and try to make a tackle.
Yeah.
But if you're Peyton Manning, Dan Marino, John Elway, I mean, go down the list. No Tom question. Brady.
That was funny, though.
Walk
when you watch when you watch
he didn't
the
even
film
try.
And the ball's on the ground and it's literally 9 feet in front of you.
And here comes Wes Welker to dive in the middle of it all.
And you stick your hands out and bend at the waist and back up. It's hilarious.
Well, you go back, Jeff. You said the neck surgery. Last thing you want him doing is diving in their head first.
I know, but it's still funny.
Oh, no, it's hilarious.
You know,
well,
it's funny.
Even when we did the game and it happened, the ball is sitting there for a while.
The second one, the shotgun
snap,
that's the one that was 9 feet away.
Yeah,
and he bends over and sticks his arm out and goes,
It's pretty good.
It's good radio.
So, yeah, Philip Rivers, second
highest. Even better video, by the way, filmroomfridayjaguars.com.
What time does it get posted?
First thing in the morning. It'll be up. Yeah, check it out.
So Philip Rivers is the second-rated quarterback, but a completely different guy.
I'll tell you what, he is a competitor.
He ultra-competitor, and he looks like he is a penguin throwing the ball. It's almost like when he throws, he has a shoulder sling tying his upper arm up tight against his body, and it's like a flipper.
His elbow's connected to his ribs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really a different – but, man, he can get it done.
And he gets it out quick.
And Tony said it best. He is competitive. He gets out there. You play with a fire. You'll see him trash talking a little bit.
I love him.
You know what? If you're on his team, you love him. If you're playing against him, you hate this guy because he's quarterback, and he's throwing it out there, trash talking a lot of defensive guys. Very competitive.
That's what you were saying earlier. Most people don't like him at all.
No.
I love him.
No. It's funny because with Philip Rivers, it's either you love him or you just can't stand him.
It's like Cutler.
Well, you know, I think Jay is more one of those guys that, you know, some people
everyone
like.
Everyone doesn't
know,
like?
You know, does everyone like him?
I was way off.
Pretty much. And that, you know, people either hate him or they like.
Or dislike him.
You know, they just basically swallow him because he's their quarterback and they know he's got some talent. You know, whereas with Philip, it's one or the other.
I tell you what.
There never seems to be any middle ground.
I don't know if you remember Philip Rivers. It was years ago now. He tears his ACL in the divisional round of the playoffs.
Played the next week.
Against the Patriots.
In the freezing cold on a torn ACL after he had it cleaned out on Monday to get the crud out of it.
Right.
And strapped it up and went out. And from that moment on.
Oh, yeah.
I said, this guy right here is one of my favorite players because he lays it on the line. He is ultra competitive. He cares deeply. A lot of guys care. And he is going to let it fly. And that ball comes out, it is funky.
Well,
looking,
let me
but
bring
it comes
up
out quick.
That also came up around that same time because I don't know if you remember, LaDainian Tomlinson.
Didn't play.
Did not play. But we're, you know, and there was the NFL Network.
Two different positions, too.
The NFL Network does the weekly series where they talk with different guys. And I'm trying to think of the name. They did John Riggins.
Football Life.
Football Life. That's it. To me, that's like poetry. Watching that show every week is like watching poetry. I love it. Because a lot of the guys that we're starting to see now be featured are starting to be in the era that either I watched and then in some cases sometimes where I played against some of these guys. So you love learning more. And I thought that the piece that was done on LaDainian Tomlinson was absolutely perfect. And, folks, if you ever get a chance to watch it, and I'm sure that they have it posted on the Internet, you will have a newfound respect for LaDainian Tomlinson and the type of person that he was and the leader that he was. And they talked about how Philip Rivers played in that game with the ACL, and LaDainian had a knee as well but couldn't play. And LaDainian said, look, I didn't want to be selfish and that I knew I wasn't going to be as good as the next guy because he was better than me at the percent that I could play. Yeah. And we're talking about a running back.
Two different positions. If you can't,
but
Tomlinson
took
play
a lot of heat because Philip played and then LaDainian didn't play.
He did.
You know, and I mean, my whole opinion on that is, I mean, quarterback, come on. Do you need an ACL for one game? No. I mean, you can suck it up. Irv Eatman played almost an entire career at right tackle without an ACL in one of his knees. He just had to wear a knee brace.
Well, what shape is your ACL in? You played a long time.
Brunell did it without an ACL.
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, so I mean, if he can, if he can do
sure
it, how tough is Philip Rivers?
He's not very tough, obviously.
Who needs an ACL?
No, but I mean, Philip, it's two different positions, but he is a big challenge for this team. He is. I just got done watching the tape, and this Chargers offense is completely different than Denver's. I mean, Denver's a spread you out, hurry up, do a lot of different things. This is a power. I mean, this offensive line's a bunch of guys you probably have never heard of, half of them. Now, DJ Fluker, the first rounder of the right tackles.
Did you see his pancake that he got?
He's a good player. He is physical. He's nasty.
Size 22 shoe, I think.
I'll tell you what, King Dunlap.
That's bigger than Leon Searcy.
Yes.
Jeff, you said Mathis would run around King Dunlap. Dunlap shut him down the entire game. I couldn't believe how well he played because that was when Jeff's camp. Everyone, the left guard's not very good. Johnny
Trout.
Troutwood.
Troutman.
He is not very good. But the rest of they're nasty. They're physical. Ryan Matthews runs downhill. He's physical.
Center's not very good.
He's average, but he gets in your way.
He was a pretty good player.
He was
at
really
one point.
He was.
Oh, yeah, he's just old. He's a position
We're
guy.
We're talking about Nick Hardwick. Now all he does is wants to grab a hold.
Yeah, he just holds on for dear life.
Yeah.
But, I mean, my point in saying this is it's a patch group They've had a lot of injuries up front, but it's a patchwork group that plays pretty hard together. They're okay outside. Phillip Rivers makes the entire thing go, but they're a tough group. So it's completely different than Denver. They're going to try to run downhill, get after you, and then Phillip makes the whole thing go because he throws the ball places as you're watching the film going, where's he throwing it? And he throws guys open.
Yep.
And he throws them open, and they're not open when he gets rid of it, but somehow he knows they're going to get there, and he makes big plays. He is a lot of fun to watch, and it's another big challenge for now. The weapons outside are nowhere near Denver's, outside of Antonio Gates. But they got some matchup issues, and coming out of the backfield with Danny Woodhead is dynamic, and it's going to be interesting to see how this the defense Bob Babich attacks their offense.
You know, it's the Gates connection that really stands out. I mean, you're talking about a guy who has 85 career touchdowns. Rivers has thrown to him 58 times, the most between a quarterback and a tight end. And, you know, doggone, every time the Jaguars play this guy, he's in the end zone. He has 5 touchdowns in 5 games, and that's a position, by the way, the Jaguars have not covered all that well this year.
You know what? I came up with a term to see if we can age these two guys, Brian, because you got it. Do you guys know who Linus Van Pelt is?
Does he carry a blanket around with him?
Yes.
Well, yeah, you're about to turn 40, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay. What's
Charlie
the cartoon? Peanuts.
Peanuts.
Right?
Charlie Brown, yeah.
Phillip Rivers is Linus, and the blanket is Antonio Gates. I mean, really.
It's there all the time.
I mean, you think about that relationship with these two guys. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, when a quarterback gets into trouble or a child that has a favorite blanket.
A binky.
A binky, whatever you want to call it. You know, when they get into trouble or they feel uncomfortable, what do they want? They want it. Well, Phillip Rivers has got one, and that's Antonio Gates. He's not fast, but he's crafty. Crafty, good hands, dependable, kind of like
Binky.
Jason Witten, you know, stinks a little bit.
And this is a conversation we've never had on the air.
Every quarterback needs
Binky
a blankie.
Has never been said on Jaguars radio.
Gates is a guy who's been foot issues the last couple of years, but the report out there, he's the healthiest he's been. He's in great shape, and he looks good out on the field. Not what he once was when he was a young guy, but he's still a huge threat.
The guy we saw last week in Denver.
He's not that dynamic.
No, but, I mean, you got
Julius Thomas.
Julius Thomas is a former basketball player, and Gates is a former basketball player. You might start looking for
Gonzalez basketball Gonzalez played too, didn't he?
Tony Gonzalez played at Cal.
Yeah, and the kid out of Miami.
Jimmy Graham.
Yeah,
he's
basketball
in
player.
New Orleans right now, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, that's right, yeah.
All right, folks, we need a break. We'll take it now. Come back more with Mark, Tony, and Jeff. And you, 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. You're listening to Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
We'll go along in the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion. See your Southern Ford dealer today. They're a proud partner of the Jaguars. Ford invites you to go further. Welcome back, Jaguars Thursday. HananiaAutos.com studios. Jeff Loggeman, Tony Buscelli, Mark Brunell. Feel free to dial in, folks. 800-355 NFL1 or 355-6351. Okay, let's see. Just to put this in perspective, Brad Meester started his first game September 3rd, 2000 in Cleveland.
Yeah, I was there.
You were the starting quarterback. He was starting next to you.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about a guy who has been here from Tom Coughlin, Jack Del Rio, you know, a little bit of Mel Tucker, Mike Mularkey, and now with Gus Bradley. I mean, he spans, you know, the eras of Jaguars football, and on Sunday he starts his 200th career game.
Wow.
Forget Jaguars history for just a moment. You guys have all played a long time in the NFL. 200 games? That's a lot of football.
A lot of football.
For a guy who showed up
as starts.
At starts. A quiet left guard his rookie season.
He's still quiet.
Nah, not as much.
I'm joking with him. I mean,
first couple years he wouldn't say boo.
Well, trust me, I played next to him. Try to get a call out of him.
There he is, blaming Meester again.
No, I wasn't blaming him. We were trying to communicate. You got backers coming. All right, we got this. And Brad would just sit there.
So
okay, Brad, we got this. Brad, we got this.
Not in his head.
So Meester's talking now.
Yeah,
he actually talks. Yeah. Okay, good.
He's like a media darling now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
I'll tell you what.
How many girls has he got now?
Six.
You got six girls, man. You got to learn how to play with Barbies and talk and everything.
No, you don't. No, if you have six girls and a wife that's seven women, you don't say anything.
You don't get to.
No.
You don't get to say anything.
Yeah.
You know, we talked, Brian and I and Brad talked earlier today, and thinking back on that first start, I mean, from day one he came in here, he was slated as the starting left guard from the first day he showed up. And
yeah, but everybody knew where he was going to end up.
Well, he didn't do it for 3 years.
No, I know.
Oh, yeah, he was a natural center, but I'll give him – I mean, Brian asked the question, did you know he was a center when he showed up here? I said, well, he's a pretty dang good left guard as a rookie. I mean, he was solid. I mean, now there was typical rookie stuff and figuring out what to do and reacting to calls and everything, but I never remember one time thinking, oh, gosh, I got this rookie next to me. It's going to be a long day or it's going to be difficult. I mean, from the first time – He was a great guy to play with. He was a very good player the first day he showed up here, and it's amazing.
Who was the center that year?
Was it John Wade.
Was it John Wade at that point?
John Wade.
Johnny Wade.
When was Quentin New Year?
Before John Wade. That
yeah,
was
he was
90s, still, late 90s.
Yeah, well, he was there 97, 98.
It was me, Ben, Quentin, Tilski, and Cirrus.
Wow.
I've forgotten John Wade got in there on that one.
The sweaty man.
Oh, tell me about it. I know full well how sweaty he was.
And this is the truth. And John Wade, who played here, by the way, for those that
and went to Tampa,
used to have to change his game pants
oh, yeah.
at halftime because he was just an absolute sweating machine.
He should have changed every period, every quarter, every series. I mean,
because the quarterbacks, right, Mark? When you put your hand,
I'll tell you what, there's only one word that describes it, and it's nasty. Wet and nasty.
Now, we're talking about John Wade, not Brad Meester.
He was nasty, too.
You know, speaking of nasty, we saw this. The very first game that he played at center was an exhibition game in 2003 up in Minnesota. Remember that game? And it was the first game at center with Paul Boudreau as the offensive line coach. And he was cleaning guys off the pile. And I remember you saying, what has become of Brad Meester?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of a sudden he went from this nice, quiet guard
Paul Boudreau,
to an animal. Yeah,
Paul Boudreau, the coach.
A good football coach.
That's what he taught, and he's trying to instill a little bit of that for the St. Louis Rams. Now he's working for Jeff Fisher.
But I remember the look on your face. You're like, where did this guy come from all of a sudden?
No, yeah. I mean, I love the way that Boudreau taught, and Brad Meester was kind of leading the way. And you know what? He's kind of carried and kept some of that in his game for all these years. He's still a little bit chippy.
But you can't be as chippy anymore in the NFL.
No,
they call it now.
Yeah.
Back then, you used to be able to clean guys off the pile. We did it all the time. And they would never blow a whistle. Now,
we saw it with Jordan Todman here against the Colts.
A very clean play in my book. The whistle hadn't even blown. He's cleaning the guy off, and all of a sudden you get a 15-yarder.
So here goes Meester, right? Nine more games after this, and who knows whether he'll come back or whether the Jaguars will want him back or not. But you're talking about a guy who played 209 games. Is this a guy that belongs in the pride of the Jaguars? Not right away, but, I mean, for his longevity.
Great question.
It'll be one to question. Talk down the road. But he's Mr. Jaguar, in a sense.
Yeah, he really
any Pro
is.
Bowls there?
No.
He played at a pretty high level for a couple of years there. But, no, he was never there. You know, he's like a lot of guys who play here. They, you know, when this team was winning, when you guys were here and they were winning, guys got a lot of attention. But it's real easy not to pay attention to Jacksonville when they're not winning.
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, you do just because, I mean, it's kind of Cal Ripken-esque what he's been able to do.
Right.
But on the other hand, Cal Ripken did it and then did some phenomenal things along the way. And Brad was a very good player, you know, and still is a good player in his 14th year. But I think you got to have some greatness to be up inside the stadium and have your name immortalized.
I guess the reason I asked the question is I hope that people appreciate him for all that he's done here through 14 years.
Oh, people appreciate the heck out of it.
Well, I'll say this. If you look at the Hall of Fame, there are guys in the Hall of Fame that are there because of longevity. Now, and some of the guys there made only three, four, five Pro Bowls, but because they played 16, 17 years at a high level, not at an exceptional level,
right,
but at a high level, that based on the longevity – they end up getting recognized.
But you had real key thing in there. You had only had three or four Pro Bowls.
I know, but if you look, I'm talking Hall of Fame now.
No,
that's a different.
Yeah,
that's
you.
A whole other standard. I mean, typically, if you get three or four Pro Bowls, you're not going
to
be in the.
I think it's got to be talked about.
Yeah, just for conversation, which is why I bring it up. But he's a guy who, you know, from Mark Brunell, Tony Boselli, Jeff Loggeman to today's players, has meant something to the organization, which is why we're spending some time with it here today.
I'll say this, and listen, when we asked about whether it was Mark or Fred or whoever should be in there, I've always said, listen, I have no say in it, and all those guys, I'd be happy if they're up there. Mark's going in this year. I think it's great. Obviously very well deserved. And when you talk about Brad, there has been nobody who has played for this team and has put the uniform on that has represented this franchise and this community any better than Brad Meester.
You're right on the money.
And that means something.
Absolutely.
You'll want to listen a little before 11 o'clock, like 10:50 on Sunday morning to the Public's Tailgate Show. I grabbed Meester. Baselli wouldn't leave, so I included him in the conversation.
I forced my way in.
I said, could you leave? And he looked at me like, are you going to make me? I'll close the door and get in on this one. And it's a great conversation, and it just – pure admiration, but also candor between a couple of guys who used to play next to each other. So you want to tune in.
Yeah, I always give 10:51. I always give Brad a hard time because the first game we ever played in Cleveland, I never, for whatever reason, this play stands out because it was the first time we played next to each other, and we're backed up deep in the end zone. Brad laughs every time I tell it because he remembers it as well. And we're on in the closed end, new Cleveland Stadium, and I think Mark called like 134, which is our play action pass, meaning we are the backside, we're sliding, we got the weak side, and the inside linebacker walks up to the line of scrimmage, so that means we have a fan call for everyone listening. That means we have to go block out and fan the down guy over me and the outside linebacker. So I call fan, and I go block out the outside backer. And all of a sudden I hear the crowd roar and look back, and he's running for his life, I think trying to throw it away so he doesn't get a safety, gets hit. And I look, and I'm like, what happened? And I see Brad, he's sitting there blocking the nose guard. I'm like, Brad, didn't you fan? He goes, no. I'm like, what the heck are you doing? And but I tell that story because here's a guy who, I mean, from a small college.
Northern Iowa.
Starting day one in a sold-out stadium, opening day. And he'll tell you, the whole thing spinning in his head trying to figure out exactly what to do and not mess up. And
he messed up that play.
Not one play. And I tell it because he was so consistent. I mean, he made little errors here or there, but he was so consistent. And I think that's the story of Brad Meester's career. He is Mr. Consistent, shows up every day to work. He's a true pro. And you know what you get when he walks on the field is a guy who's going to play hard and going to be responsible and take care of his stuff. And that's really all you ask for.
Just an appreciation, we'll be done with it. Just the numbers, right? So Sunday, his career will have spanned from that game that you played, and you played with him, 4,795 days. That's 115,080 hours. That is 6,904,800 minutes. 414,288,000 seconds and 685 weeks.
You know what I'd love to know is how many plays he's played.
A lot.
In 200 games.
Can I tell you that I did know that the first 57 games, he did not miss a snap. Mm-hmm. He didn't miss a snap until November 16th, 2003, at Tennessee. He came out of the game for four plays with a thumb. Those are the first plays he ever missed.
He's been Mr. Consistent. And I tell the story of when he messed up. Trust me, there was plenty of times that during that 16-game season and then the three or four we played the next season together, he bailed me out plenty of times too. So, I mean, listen, the one thing you say about the guy, I'll go back to it, nobody's represented this place as well.
Well, the Luke Ackerstrom story.
Any better than Brad Meester.
Been phenomenal.
All right. Let me add one more thing, because Brad can actually laugh about it now because time has passed. And the snap here.
Minnesota?
Against Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. 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 That was a rough day. It was 17-3 like that.
He had a quarterback and shotgun and snaps it to his butt.
Yeah.
And to this day, he will still laugh about it. I mean,
he's one of the great guys.
Yeah, if you can't laugh at yourself, then what's the point?
That's right.
Sometimes you got to get out of that locker room, though, to do it.
Yeah.
We'll take a break.
We laughed at ourselves plenty, trust me.
Time for news here at the bottom of the hour. When we come back, Tony Baselli, Mark Brunell, Jeff Loggeman here to talk to you on Jaguars Monday, or Thursday. News is next on News Talk WOKB, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690. But nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. How do you like this matchup? Justin Blackmon against Derek Cox.
Well, it depends what team I'm for. If I'm San Diego.
That's actually one of the best points you brought up in a long time.
If I'm San Diego, I'm worried because Derek Cox right now is a liability for the San Diego
Chargers. And these guys, Dave Caldwell, Gus Bradley, did not hesitate
to
let him go.
I give him credit, because he kind of fit that mold of the type of guy that you wanted to to keep here. The only thing that he had was issues with staying healthy.
Never could stay healthy.
San Diego Chargers give him, you know, a 4-year deal worth $20 million, quite a bit of money up front. And from watching the last couple weeks of him on film, the first play against the Oakland Raiders, which was 2 weeks ago, I mean, right over the top of Derek Cox, he had, you know, man coverage on a guy, and a guy just smokes him.
And then he had man coverage in Hayward Bay, and he was trailing
in the Colts
in the Colts game, he was trailing by 5 yards. The ball was overthrown. I mean, he just.
So you're saying they're worried about that $10.25 million they guaranteed for him?
Yeah, well, they should be, and I know that would be. Some of the San Diego media, you know, they've been on him pretty much, you know. And I don't know what's happened, Derek. Is he fighting another injury, you know, or what? But he does. I mean, you know what he looks like? He looks like the player we saw here at times.
He looks stiff.
You know? I mean, sometimes you go, wow.
There was a play he made in Tennessee.
Look at Derek Cox.
Yeah.
And then the next time you go, Derek.
Yeah.
You know?
The other corner's pretty good, Sharice Wright.
He's better than Derek Cox.
Yeah, Sharice Wright is a pretty good player.
Real quick, how did Terrence Knighton play last week? Because he was another guy that they could have opted to
They made the
back.
Right decision on that. Okay. I mean, Terrence Knighton looked like he has been at the buffet line every week for the Denver Broncos.
No, that's nothing new.
I mean, really.
Yeah,
I mean,
no, it's the way he always
He
was.
May be moving worse this year for the Denver Broncos, going back to the 1 year where he really got big. You remember he came – it was
the 2010?
Year, two years before. Yeah, it was a couple years ago.
Where he came in
and he was like, you know, he was like – Yeah, he's like three. Yeah, they said 365, and he came in at 385. That was the truth.
That's 2010.
Yes, that's what he looks like right now.
Wow. All right, I just want to go back on that.
He can't move.
Yeah, I mean Blackman. Listen, Blackman's
coming off of an amazing.
Blackman's going to give anybody issues. I mean, he is just now. He's not going to scare you with his speed, straight line speed, but he's going to scare you with everything else. Is how physical he is, how he runs routes, how he uses his body control, what he can do after he catches the ball. What he can do in traffic. I mean, what he's done the last 2 weeks, he's playing as well as any receiver in the NFL right now.
Well, the most catches, most yards. I mean, they get the highest average
most
in the last
targets
2 weeks.
Too.
Yeah, exactly. He's right at the very top.
They could have thrown it to him every time.
He was open.
I mean, the Broncos made absolutely no adjustment. They didn't make
That's
any
amazing.
You got an opponent, okay? Come on, Coach Brunell, Coach Pacelli, you guys are coaching now, right? You got Cecil Shorts and Justin Blackman. One of them's down and out. Now you got one stud left. What are you going to do?
Double him.
Double him, right?
Put a safety over the top of him.
Del Rio
something.
Never decided to.
Never did it. Couldn't believe it. Well, I
14 catches myself. Later.
It didn't surprise me, but it's shocking. I mean, really? You're not going to double a guy who's eating you up? I mean, at some point in the game, don't you say, whoa. We got to lean the safety over there in that direction. We need some help. Let's make sure we cover 14. Didn't happen.
Quickly, what impact does Mercedes Lewis have, whether Cecil plays or not?
Peroxide would get in the head or
something. Come on. That could be natural.
What's that?
He could be a natural blonde.
What are you talking about?
I thought you were Jack's hair.
He had a new do.
Look, yeah.
Right. So what impact does Mercedes have, whether Cecil can play or not?
Good.
Right.
Here's Ryan. Way to move.
Try to help.
It helps in the run game more than anything. I mean, and this team is struggle. It's worse than the NFL at running the ball, and it will help them, I believe, because now they have a tight end that where they can run inside zone. They have not been able to run the inside zone game because they do not have a tight end who can hold the point and block a defensive end one-on-one. They just don't right now. Mercedes can do that, obviously. Pass game, I'm not sure. We'll see. He had a very good camp. He looked great during training camp, caught the ball well. If he continues to do that, he can, you know, help in the middle of the field. But with that said, Clay Harbor has been a very good receiving threat. He has good speed. He runs good routes, and he's done a good job of doing that for him.
355-NFL-1. Mike is in Chicago. Hello, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey. Just your opinion on the play of the tackles this week, the offensive tackle of the bookends. I know we had to, you know, we didn't have Jokel or Eugene Monroe anymore. So, how did they do?
Listen, I thought the entire offensive line pass protecting did a good job. I don't think really the rush was an issue. I thought both tackles did a nice job. I think Pazdor, listen, he is a guy who battles you. I think he's playing a little bit high in the run and not getting the push that I think he can if he gets his pad level down a little bit. But overall, I think both tackles played fine. They did a nice job. They listen, when you have two guys that were your backups, I'm taking nothing away from Bradfield or Pazdor. I'm big fans of the way they've stepped in what they're doing. If those guys can come in and be solid and not be a liability where you're having to change everything you do to protect them, then you're in good shape. And they are providing that for Jed Fish. They're allowing him to continue to run the offense he wants to run, do things in the pass game where they're not having to max protect all the time. And a lot of credit to George Arno for getting them ready to play, the offensive line coach. And those two guys, we need to take our hats off to them because they're doing a nice job.
Well, and Mike, I think it also helps that, I mean, do they really see great players last week against the Denver Broncos?
No, but they did the week before.
No, but I mean the week before they did, and they struggled.
But they weren't terrible.
But they did struggle. And I thought that they got better against the Broncos. Fortunately, this week against the San Diego Chargers, I think the biggest challenge is not so much having an elite player across, but having a scheme that may be trying to beat them more than anything else. I thought Cameron Bradfield's footwork got way better. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're right.
I thought his footwork got way better in Denver than it was the week before against St. Louis, and having a week of reps at left tackle, I'm sure, helped. And then Pazdor, what I love about him is that technically he does pretty good. He's never going to get whiffed, you know, or make a whiff. In other words, let a guy completely clean, because he's actually pretty good with his footwork. He needs to clean some things up, like Tony said. But I thought he was solid. He battles. You know?
Yeah. I mean, the last 2 weeks, listen, what they did against St. Louis and how they stepped in, was it pretty all the time? No, but those are two, I mean, and it's something I mean, but 94 and who's the good defensive end for St. Louis?
Oh, Robert Quinn.
Robert Quinn. I mean, that kid's a stud. And Bradfield battled him. I mean, he didn't get whiffed, and he didn't just get beat off the snap. I mean, there was some late stuff and some leakage, but listen, I'll say this. The last couple years, when we had our starters in there, at times didn't play as well as those two guys.
No, I agree with that.
I'll tell you that right now.
I would agree with that.
They didn't.
All right.
I
would agree with Tony's statement that if Eugene Monroe were in that lineup in Denver,
nothing would have changed. Not one thing. And I'm not sure.
That makes the trade for a fourth and a fifth round pick even better.
Jeff, I'm not sure how much would have changed in St. Louis either.
Don't know that. But I can tell you,
with Luke Jokel's in there,
I think it would have been a little different.
Yeah. I mean, what we saw in a quarter and a half from Luke Jokel, I mean, I was impressed.
All right.
I think they did good in the trade, because with Eugene, you were sitting there going, you knew the potential that he had. You know, Tony would get frustrated so many different times because Tony would see him do the same mistakes over and over and over again, and you just can't do that. I mean, as an offensive lineman, technically, you've got to be solid.
Technique is the most important thing. I mean, listen, you have to have athletic ability. You have to do those things. But if you have great technique and you're sound in what you're doing and you do things the right way, it can cover up for some maybe lack in athletic ability in some areas that maybe you're not elite in that area. But because you have great technique and you do the right thing and you're willing to start a fist fight out there and fight the guy across from you, that covers a lot of sins.
All right, we need a break. We'll take it now and return. You're listening to Jaguars Thursday from the HananiaAutos.com studios at Everbank Field on Jaguars Radio. All right, rolling right along here towards the top of the hour and the end of this program. A little more than 10 minutes left. We've got a caller on the line. Frank's on the west side, wants to talk to Tony. Hello, Tony. Hello, Frank.
Hey, guys. I know this might be a little lame, but I haven't played football since Pop Warner, and I wanted to ask Tony, what particular skills make a tackle better at left or right? What particular physical skills or mindset make one better on the left side than the right?
Well, in today's game, I mean, even today, typically the best pass rusher on the opposing team is the right defensive end. And so you want to put your stronger pass blocker on the left side of your offensive formation so that you're looking for a more athletic, a guy who moves in space and has really good balance and can redirect against one of the better athletes on the defense. And so that's probably the biggest difference, that historically most of the best pass rushers are on the right. Occasionally you get a guy who plays left end who's really good. And so you got to have to be, you really have to be a good athlete to play left tackle. Listen, in today's game, you better be a good on the right side as well, but more so on the left.
Well, and the other reason too is that most people on this planet are right-handed, right? Most offensive linemen, running backs are better running to the right.
Sure.
Tight ends typically is on the right side, you know, so you can protect that tackle a little bit more. And because they play the tight end typically more on the offensive right side, the defensive end to that side is typically more of a Tyson Alualu, a bigger, sturdier type guy. So
it all leads to the better athlete being on the defense, being the rush end on the right, meaning you have to.
Hence the name Leo. You got this special name, left or you know, end and an outside backer, you know. So you got to be able to have better dancing feet as a left tackle than you do a right. On the right side, you need to be able to hook the shoulder straps on and pull the car across the parking lot.
Typically, your right tackles are a little bit more of the mauling type. And so, now you see both. You can sometimes see the flip side of it. I mean, you look at the team we're playing right now, the better athlete's on the right side. Now, he's a mauler too, DJ Fluker. King Dunlap is not a great athlete. Now, he's so big and so long that it takes about a day and a half, even if he doesn't have great technique, to get around him.
6'9", 330 is what they listed.
Yeah, I mean, he is long. I mean, he is big.
If you want to get an interesting read, DJ Fluker, did you read that in clips?
Yeah.
I mean, amazing story about him growing up. And
his family was forced out of New Orleans by Hurricane Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, he was homeless living in a car. His family. Five people living in a car.
Where do you put him?
They were in Mississippi.
I'm saying how big he is. Well, you have to put him on the roof.
Then when he's in Tuscaloosa, gets a phone call from one of the guys that's in the National Football League, now another offensive lineman, and calls him up, and he leaves his apartment to go to another. And if that didn't happen, because his apartment was at was completely flat.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, the life story of this guy is an amazing read.
Yeah, I think it was it may have been the Upshaw, the kid at Baltimore, was the one that called him over. Why can't I think of his name?
Don't remember.
It's a great read. Yeah, the story of DJ Fluker is one that you want to know.
I mean, it's like movie type, you know. Crazy. All right.
We've got about 6 minutes left, so let's talk about some of these games here. Tonight, Seahawks.
Seattle.
Good call.
I agree.
Seattle and Arizona.
In Arizona. Carson Palmer against Pete Carroll.
I'd take Pete in that one.
Okay.
I just don't see what the big rave from Bruce Arians about Carson Palmer was. I don't get that.
Best option.
They had
no other options.
I agree.
All right, Buccaneers and Falcons. Buccaneers have a hard road, man. Falcons are coming off a bye week.
Falcons.
Smitty.
I'm not going to root for that guy in Tampa, Shiano. What are you kidding me?
That's your type of coach.
Oh, yeah.
Bears at Redskins.
The Bears.
I'm taking the Redskins there.
All right.
RG3.
Cowboys at Eagles.
Eagles.
I'm taking the Cowboys.
I am too. Cowboys.
Patriots at Jets.
Patriots.
Patriots. Easy one. No way, Logs. No
Logs,
way.
Logs, don't go back to your roots
don't
of
do
the,
it.
The green, the Kelly Green uniforms.
Gerard Mayo's out. Vince Wilfork is out.
I know. That's, you know, I'm going Jets.
Keep it going.
You know, I Rex Ryan is just, you know, he I'm
just crafty enough to put something together.
I'm going with the gang green.
You know, the amazing thing is somehow Rex Ryan's going to win enough games this year that they won't fire him. He was a for sure fire. I just got the feeling that, I mean, he is going to find a way to win enough games.
Got a young quarterback. He's
doing a good job.
Doing a pretty good job.
They're not very talented.
They are on defense.
No, defense, yeah. But I'm saying, but they're not, I mean, as a team.
Right.
I mean, he's doing a heck of a job.
They lack serious skill position players, but other than that, they're not bad.
Oh, they lost Mike Goodson this week.
Mm-hmm.
Torn ACL.
No biggie.
Bills at Dolphins.
Dolphins.
I love the Dolphins.
Bills don't have a quarterback. I'm taking Dolphins.
Yeah, Thaddeus Lewis.
Yeah, he's like I said.
Rams at Panthers. Boy, if we didn't think that the Rams had something going for them when we left there, then they went to Houston and punked those guys.
Houston's not very good.
What's the game again?
Rams at Panthers.
At Panthers.
The Panthers are coming off of a big win in Minnesota.
If Cam Newton tries to run around, those two defensive ends are going to be all over him like stink on duty.
I'm going Panthers.
I'm taking the Rams.
Rams.
You sure about that?
Positive.
You want any more time to think
any
about it?
Any insight on that?
No, it's just the Rams. I'm not a Cam Newton fan.
I realize that.
Tony is.
Tony,
I'm a big Cam guy.
Big Cam guy. He wears the Superman shirt under his sport coat.
Cam?
I know. No, I do.
Tony does. That's how big of a fan he is of Cam Newton.
Nice. I'm not going there. Bengals at Lions.
That's a good one.
That's a great game.
Good football game.
One team's going to be 5-2. Where's it at?
At Lions.
Oof. I'm going to take the Lions.
I'm going to take the Bengals.
They're better at quarterback.
Just because I like the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Marvin.
I think Marvin Lewis is, first of all, he's a great guy. Brian, you've talked
he's
with him.
He's a survivor.
Tom Coughlin's golf tournament. You guys have all talked
Love
with
Marvin.
Him many times.
He's a wonderful
How
guy.
How do you ever not root for Marvin Lewis?
It's hard not to because he's persevered in that Cincinnati organization that's fundamentally unchanged from when it started in 68.
And if you watch, and this year I actually watched the Hard Knocks that they did with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Good
and
man.
I think when you watch something like that and you get to see Marvin work, I think you even get more respect for a guy like him, Bengals.
49ers at Titans.
49ers. Fitzpatrick can't get it done for the Titans.
Agree.
Yeah, I agree.
Texans at Chiefs.
The Texans are going to start
spinning out of control.
Keenum. Right. And the Kansas City Chiefs with that defense are going to make him wish he was back on the bench.
You said it. you said spin out of control in Houston. I mean, you think they can't get this thing turned around?
No, I don't think they
can. Arian Foster crowd?
They're playing really well on defense, but they've got a quarterback issue. Arian Foster, I think, is an issue. He's not running like he used to run or should. You know what he's become? He's become Chris Johnson. Agree with that?
I don't know if he's that.
Not running as hard as he used to.
Not that bad, but he's not like he was.
But not like that.
I agree.
But in that mold, mm-hmm. right?
Right. If you say so, because I really haven't said.
Tom
Holly. I know he ran for 141 last week.
Tom Holly Houston? Justin Houston?
Justin Houston.
And the tackles for the Titans struggled last week against the Seahawks.
That's the Texans game.
No. Well, I know, but last week.
Yeah.
The Titans. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. We're talking about a different game. Never mind.
Yeah.
Okay. Appreciate that, Jeff.
I was trying to help you out there, Tony.
Ravens and Steelers.
I was going to a different place.
Ravens and Steelers.
At Steelers.
Huh? Steelers coming off their win over the Jets.
I think that was a mirage. I'm going Ravens.
I'm going to go Steelers on this one. It's at their place.
Do the Steelers even have a takeaway yet? They did not have a takeaway.
Yeah, they do. They got a bunch in Geno Smith.
Yeah, he threw a couple picks.
That's the first
game.
I'm
going to go with the Titans in that game.
Laugh at yourself, right? Browns at Packers.
Packers.
Browns are on a roll, though.
1-3 in a row.
Okay, go ahead and pick them.
At Packers.
Yeah, go ahead and pick them.
Nah, I can't do that. Packers.
All right, the big game everyone's talking about, Jim Irsay versus Peyton Manning.
Broncos.
After watching Indianapolis play conservative, smash mouth, and all that garbage in San Diego, they're taking their best player in Andrew Luck and are handcuffing him.
And I'll tell you what, I don't think Trent Richardson's running very well.
He runs. He has more. He runs more in the lateral plane than the vertical plane.
I agree with that 100%.
We're getting scientific now.
I mean, come on.
Well, he is an engineer.
So Broncos?
Broncos.
Broncos.
Okay, final. Does Tom get his first win against the Vikings?
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Write it down.
Go TC.
Smitty and Tom.
Come on, Eli.
All right, that'll do it. Guys, thanks so much. Enjoy the weekend. By the way, you're the only one who can pick this. Providence versus Episcopal.
Oh, big game.
Come on,
week.
Jeff.
I'm going to be there Friday night because I'm going to watch this.
You're going to Providence? Nice. Is that Providence?
Yeah, wherever it is, I'm going to be there. And I
got to pick quicker.
No, I can't. I'm not going to pick it.
Come on, Jeff.
Come on, Jeff.
Well, I'm going to go with Providence. You're in your first year. Come on, Bruni.
Good night, everybody.
I just wanted one. Just one.